The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I'm Rick Welch, and to my left is Billy I. Candy Kimsey.
Like a Zagnik bar. That's what I say after love making.
What? Zagnut.
Zagnut.
All I can think of is Beetlejuice.
I didn't know that was on there. It looks like the most disgusting candy bar.
It's delicious.
Ever. There's no chocolate. It's coconut.
It's like coconut. It's delicious.
But that's what you hear after sex. The most disgusting.
Zagnut.
Okay. All right. I'm having a hard time putting that together. But okay. All right then.
And we got Tiziana, Mom So Hard, Subverse.
Y'all about to lose your screen time. You know that?
That's how you're momming?
Mm-hmm.
Screen time. It's a real thing.
You're about to lose it.
Yep.
This behavior.
Behind the glass, Rocket Man Andy Bishop.
I wish you would take my screen time away.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, come to my house and don't eat your dinner. That's exactly what's going to happen.
You remember when none of us had any screen time? Wasn't that bad?
No.
Yeah. That's
wasn't
right.
That bad.
That's true.
And Rick Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, we do not have the Honorable Sarita Edgerton, and we do not have Ralph Hicks. And today is a very interesting, lovely day, and I hate that they can't be here because this is the first episode of our season 5. Can you believe that? Billy, can you?
That's Zagnut right there.
Some of the show has been Zagnut. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. That's crazy. So
isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
And we're going to get into this. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about going into our fifth season, like some of the things that we learned over the last year in our fourth season. And, with Cherry kind of in and out, and then, with everything that happened with her, and then Tiziana taking on a full-time role with us now, and more so, and that's great. But, the first episode that came out in the fourth season was our roundtable discussion of the Flat Earther Globe.
Oh, wow.
Today.
I missed that.
To date.
It is the most listened to podcast episode that we've ever had.
I cannot decide how I feel about that.
Like, what are the metrics for that, though? Like, what does that mean in terms of numbers?
Over 300,000.
Just on Spotify, or is that across all your platforms?
That's all platforms.
Wow.
Yeah, that was through my RSS tells me from all platforms.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Wow. So,
wow.
Because that's what I upload to.
Yeah.
Over 300,000 streams.
The crazy thing, that was out of all of them, that might have been the one we went into trying to be the most prepared. It went completely sideways immediately.
It was, and funny enough, believe it or not, Mike Green,
yes,
who was a part of that panel, yep, with, yep, Jordan and Pastor David Curtis.
Right.
Mike Green and I have become incredible friends. Like, we're really good friends.
He's
we
cool
see
to-
each other every other week. We get together in a small group, and I love him and his wife, Sue. They're wonderful people. Here's the thing. You can have differences and still love people and just get along with them fine. We just have to agree to disagree, you know?
Yeah.
And that's harder to do for some.
Or don't show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't come anymore.
I have a beloved family member who,
yeah,
is a flat earther. Just 100% will show me videos about it and, yep, will talk to me about, and I just listen and I go, uh-huh. Yeah, because if every ounce of science in the world has not convinced you, I'm not.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I just listen and I go, okay.
I'm so dumb. I'm always like, but gravity.
I know. But in that argument with the Flat Earth Globe, we talked about that. And, it was considered, anything that I said would be considered pseudoscience. There was no way to,
yeah,
prove it or whatever, because I couldn't verify it or whatever. Right. Gravity didn't exist because there's only buoyancy. Just all these arguments that no matter how prepared I was, the fact is that I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist. And the other thing is, I trust what I see And by sea, I mean, there is videographic and photographic evidence out the wazoo from all kinds of different space agencies.
But you have to believe that those are real.
Yes. What do you got there? Gravity.
Gravity's real.
It's buoyancy. That's buoyancy. Just kidding.
So what episode was that? Because I didn't
that
listen.
Was episode.
For some reason, I wasn't here.
That was maybe, episode 169.
It wasn't here. It was in Virginia.
We were in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Okay. So what number was it?
Episode 169, and
I can remember that.
Yeah, it came out on February 8th.
Sorry. Bam. Without gravity, I'm pretty sure buoyancy can only cause things to go up.
Yeah.
Because it is gravity that pushes things down when they're negatively buoyant. That's because they weigh more.
Andy can't let it go.
I cannot.
I remember listening to that episode. I was on my treadmill, and it was like back when my 4-year-old was still 3, so she would nap. And it was like back when I used to get like a very small period of time in my life a day where both the 2-year-old, you know, the 1-year-old and 3-year-old were napping. And I remember listening to that episode while I was jogging and just being like flabbergasted on the treadmill.
Did you have that treadmill flat or was it inclined?
Was it buoyant?
I'm a flat treadmiller.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Well,
I'm not going to indict myself by answering that question.
One of the things that, you know, for me that I discovered there, first of all, Jordan Grant is not dumb. He's incredibly smart. He really is very, very smart. Yeah. And he wasn't making any positive claims is what he was saying. He's like, I'm not making...
No, they don't do that.
But, but here's the thing. There was a group that was over in Britain, in England, that listened to this particular episode. And they shared it. And they talked about it. And they were like, I think they're called flatsoids. So they're flat earthers, right? Yeah,
Jordan slammed you so
bad.
That's
what they said in the beginning. They were like, oh, he really slammed him or whatever. But then after a while, they started... actually liking me. And they're like, hey, we actually like that guy because he's not like just hammering down. He's trying to listen and trying to understand, but also trying to give his point of view. Mm-hmm. So that it actually ended out, you know, pretty good. So I think with them sharing it and us having it and people that are into this, it's sort of I think that AI probably drives things to this episode because it is, you know, it gets clicks, you know,
and if
it
gets clicks.
Yeah. So,
yeah, sure.
But all in all, you know, like my relationships with them, gentlemen that I spoke with, they're fine. Like I'm happy. We disagree and you know, they can say, you can be wrong. You know, that's funny. And, you know, but all in all, it was fine. But at the same time, right after that episode came out was Notes from the Underground, which is now Notes from the Other Side. So that's been a big change this year.
Yeah, that's been a big change this year.
Yep. Notes.
Notes left. Notes.
Notes left from here. And became Notes from the Other Side. But Proverbs 31.
Oh, yeah.
It released on February the 13th, the day before. So you guys had done that.
Oh, my God.
That was an all-woman cast, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And
that
Andy.
Was me and Sarita.
Even Andy.
Do you remember that, Andy?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that was me and Sarita and my friend Lakeisha Lee.
Yeah, I don't know if Andy spoke on that or not. Yeah, I think he did just a
Andy
couple
did
times.
A little bit.
I was pretty quiet, I think. But yeah.
A
little
bit. Yeah, absolutely. And did you guys remember that guest that we had, Dr. Craig Olson? He was the archaeologist.
Yeah. Oh,
that was a fascinating episode.
Yeah, he was fascinating.
You know, where he's talking about all the numbers from the past and like how it coincided with, I guess, hyperbole or how they were able to line it up scientifically. I thought it was pretty cool.
He was talking about Moses.
It was kind of the thing about import, too. The numbers, large numbers, were a part of the story about a person's import.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really fascinating interview. And then I interviewed Pete and Rachel Rue again.
Yep.
And I love them. Mm-hmm. And they had that book, End Times Explained.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that book a lot. It was wonderful to be able to go into it and read all of the different views and see why, you know, people hold what they
it's
kind of
like
to.
Their good. It was their second attempt, but it was like there should have been their first book.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's kind of like read that book and then read their first book second. We finished up a study called Walking in Step with the Spirit. That's one that Sarita had led.
Did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was a really cool one. And then we did that one with Kelly Coy. How Sovereign is Our God.
Yes.
You guys remember that one? That was a weekend one that we did, Andy, where we had our friend Kelly Coy come and we talked about Calvinism.
Yes.
And like the tulip, you know, all of the points of Calvinism.
Yeah, that one. And then that one kind of spun off and
to the,
had a
the elect. Right. Didn't it turn into the whole series on the elect and what it means to be the elect?
Yeah, we talked about that. But what ended up happening was after Kelly had shared that information, you know, the way that his perspective, Pastor David Curtis had listened to that, and then he had brought it up, and then he mispronounced Kelly's name, called him like Cody Kelly or whatever and got it all wrong. And then there was kind of like a little hubbub, but we got through that.
He had a response episode or something to that.
Yeah, he came back. He comes back a little bit later. That's one of the episodes that'll come back later where he comes in and he shares his testimony.
Yep.
We had Pastor Zach Davis from Arkansas.
Yep.
He came in. Then, we didn't finish up The Walking in Step of the Spirit. We were part three at that point. And then episode 182 in April was Tracy Hewitt. She came in. She was the wife of the cop that had been shot on duty.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She's had a very rough year this year, too. She's a very powerful person. And then Tiziana in April, you picked up this episode. It was called Look to the Stars.
Yeah.
Astrology in the Bible.
And that's when you decided that maybe notes should be his own podcast. Yeah, I was like,
oh, we're going to talk about astrology. See ya.
You're out of here.
You know what?
You're in the stars.
You know what? I think that you should probably go away.
No, it's just, and that's really not what it was. What it was that by nature, it picks the thorny topics. And what it was doing was creating an absolute hell vacuum for me because everybody was reaching out like, oh, everybody's speaking about this.
You know,
it's like, come on, man. I'm just talking.
I know.
You know, but that never really stops either, too.
No.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, in the mid-April, we had that really cool interview with Rick Welch. From Vermont.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, no, awesome. I missed that one.
So episode 186, I had looked online and was Googling my name because obviously I'm very important. And so I was Zach Nutt. So I wanted to get I came across the name Rick Welch in this Vermont with this guy that worked for a thing called Teen Challenge. And I was like, what's this all about? And I saw like this guy had been a former heroin addict and I was like, what? And so I sent him a message and he responded and he shared his testimony. His son's name is Rick Welch, who was born the same year as me. Dude, it's crazy.
I didn't listen to that.
A good talker / storyteller. You know what I mean? Like he has an amazing story, like 100%. But also he knows how to tell a story who's really good.
Well, if he's in part of Teen Challenge, he's probably honed his story.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
Yeah.
And if his name's Rick Welch, he knows how to talk.
I mean, let's be honest.
He just loves to hear himself talk.
You're born with a sort of je ne sais quoi at that point, you know?
I hate the French. Just so anyway, but we had a lot in common. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on heroin, but we had a lot in common. And what was amazing, I sent a message to him the other day because I wanted to connect him. And this is a really cool part of the story. He's retired. We actually got him right before he retired. And so at the beginning of 2025, he's retired. But I have a family member that lives up in Maine that has battled with alcoholism for a long time, and he got in a really bad way. And the doctors had told him pretty much, listen, if you take another drink, there's a chance that it could just kill you. It's that bad. And so his mother was very distraught and reached out to me and said, hey, you know, can you contact that guy at Teen Challenge? That's how I found out that he had retired. But here's the interesting thing. Teen Challenge showed up at her church. I'm not really sure if they read her email or if they just had it already pre-planned, whatever. But her son went. And it's been a remarkable thing for him. So these people are really, they're really sweet and they're helping people, you know, and I love that about them.
It's not like conversion therapy or anything like that.
Right. It's not. Really, it's just about how to live with, you know, how to filter life and not turn to things to try to help you filter it. You had that awesome interview with Dr. Carrie Doering.
Yeah.
That was at the end of April of last year. And then we did a side study called Are There Contradictions in the Bible? And the answer was no. Why are you laughing? then we did a swap cast where I spoke down at Berean Bible Church, The Family Whom Jesus Loved, where I doubled down on my Lazarus study on who I think
was a good study.
I love that episode.
Yeah.
That was a great sermon.
Oh.
Yeah. Talking about the spikenard and the city of Bethany and its archaeological relevance. That was a great episode.
Yeah. I really enjoyed doing that. And I got a lot of positive and negative emails from that.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Because I think that Lazarus wrote, you know, the Gospel of John,
First, Second, Third
John and Revelation. That's kind of a strange thing. And then recently, Rick's like, what if they're the same guy? And I started researching, and I was like, wait, is it possible?
Is it the same dude?
Is John telling a story with his middle name? is he using his middle name? We're going to get into that later. It's pretty wild. Blame Lazarus.
Blame him all the time.
And then I had a sermon called, we did this one in May called The Burden of Proof, where Andy and I sat down and had a conversation just between one another about, you know, the burden of proof is on a Christian in regard to trying to prove the existence of God, or is the burden of proof on those who can't prove?
More generally, the burden of proof is on the person making a claim.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep.
It is not the rest of the world's responsibility to prove you wrong, because some things simply cannot be proven wrong. They can only be proven right.
Yes. And there's a whole lot to that. And I've been in these long talks, and you'll get to meet him in the future, Andy, this fellow by the name of Alan Bondar, who left the faith and is full atheist. But he wrote this book that really exposes like brainwashing and addiction in Christianity, like how this can be used as a tool to like warp people's minds and then make them go in a specific way. And I would have to agree. I agree with a lot of his book, a lot of it.
Yeah.
But he, you know, they demand empirical evidence, you know, for the existence of God, which is something that no one will ever be able to do.
Yeah, he can't do it.
And if you could prove God with, you know, empirical evidence, then we wouldn't be having these conversations, would we? But Andy said something brilliant a long time ago. He's like, the reason that we debate is because there's enough gray area in it to debate.
Yeah. I think Mr. Carter said, but the text is obvious. And I said, if it was obvious, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really difficult. And the more this year, the more and more.
I make statements like that all the time.
That's so, okay. Yeah. Totally cool.
Rick and I have went down so many different paths this year, and we've been focusing on like, what is the CBV and the IBB and the CC and the DC and the, you know, and the BBC and the BLM and the bowel movements.
You're going to start rapping now?
Yes. So we looked at, you know, we've went down so many different rabbit holes. It's very difficult, especially when you come from the full preterist paradigm, when everything is fulfilled, then what you think is physical is not, and what you think is spiritual is, and when vice versa. Now you got to go back to the beginning and you got to try to put it all together. Like, well, if it wasn't physical, then what did it mean in the beginning?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Which I am in the smack in the middle of right now, which is a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
I had to go back in time because I missed so much. I didn't become a part of this show until it like year two or three.
Right.
Yeah. And even then I was just like, I just popped in every now and again. And when you join a podcast, you start listening to a podcast and there's that amount of backlog of material to absorb and like listen to. Yep. You guys often will say things that that you guys have been talking about.
Yeah.
I still to this day have no idea who Gary Chapman is.
Who?
What's his name?
Gary DeMar?
That guy either.
Really? Yeah.
No.
Gary Chapman's the guy that wrote the five love languages.
Guy you just said, the Pastor Chapman, whatever. Who?
David Curtis. DeMar.
David Curtis, see?
Yeah.
Oh, David
He's
Curtis.
The pastor of Berean Bible Church in Virginia.
See, because you guys will be like, oh, so-and-so says such and such, and we did such and such. But there's all this backstory that you need to know about, and I didn't know any of it.
A lot of those quick references are usually people from Berean.
Yeah.
Right. Frequently.
Right. Always. But you know, like you guys be like,
or at least
blah, blah,
related
blah.
In some fashion to them.
Right.
And
sure.
Even with y'all's, like, so, and nobody at home can see me, but I'm looking at the two Ricks across from me right now. But y'all and your conversations with preterism and like universalism and, you know, what's metaphor and what's physical. Like I've heard it, but it's like kind of like in the most polite way, gone one in ear and out the other. Cause I didn't have like necessarily the base for it that you guys had. And so like now that I'm doing my study for notes, which is like the material realities of heaven and hell and where did that come from? And what did the ancient Hebrews think about these things?
Mm-hmm.
I'm now doing that work. And I'm like, my little brain.
You're starting to catch right
oh
up.
Oh my gosh.
It's I'm a starting meltdown.
I'm catching up and I'm like, oh my gosh, we've gotten it so wrong.
Yeah.
We've gotten it so wrong, you know? And a big piece of this too for me is, and this is something that I'm going to not bogart the rest of the conversation, but we took 1st and 2nd Maccabees out of the Protestant Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those books are a part of the Catholic Bible.
Right.
And that war was extremely important when it came to Israel's conceptualization of the kingdom of God and the Messiah and the kingdom of God on earth, because they did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They threw off the oppressive ruler.
Antiochus Epiphanes.
That's right, Antiochus Epiphanes, that was trying to, you know, occupy Israel and force them to conform. They rose up. There was a revolt. Much like a couple hundred years later.
Yep.
And they won.
They won.
they won and they gained their independence from an oppressive.
Which is why they celebrate Hanukkah today.
Right. Really?
Yeah, because of the oil in the lamp.
That's why, but they don't celebrate Hanukkah. They celebrate Hanukkah because of the Maccabean War.
The Festival of Lights.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Jesus goes to the temple during the Festival of Lights, which is, you know, basically Hanukkah. Mm. And that's one of the times that he goes, and he celebrates that, which is pretty wild. But that was not one of the original feasts that were in the Mosaic Covenant. Mm.
Okay, that's where it came from. Because the thing is, it's like, and then they got picked up by Rome.
Yeah.
And then Rome was like, just kidding, you aren't free. Right?
Sorry to laugh.
But so yeah. So this is the political environment that Jesus is born into. Obviously, people were expecting him to be a political rabble-rouser. Obviously, people were expecting his conceptualizations of the kingdom to be what had just happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like it was coming out of nowhere. Israel finally did the thing they'd been talking about God helping them do all of this time.
Yeah.
Throwing off the yoke of a foreign leader, you know? I mean, it's interesting that period of time, I think, it gets scrubbed from the Christian conceptualization of the history of things.
Yeah.
But I think it informs so much.
So some of the Baptists still carry the 1611 version, and the 1611 version of the Bible has the Apocrypha in it.
Yeah.
Which is 1st and 2nd Maccabees.
Yeah.
So they, you know, you can read it, but they just say it's not canon.
Oh.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
We know what it means. But you know,
super important, though. I mean, I'm so, like.
Yeah. Hello, all you Burroughs listeners. If you guys want to help us financially keep this podcast going, just go to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. Let me say that again. www.patreon, that's patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. We have several different levels that you can give at. So again, if you'd like to help us keep this podcast on the air, then just give us all your money at www.patreon.com/theburrowsofBerea. Thanks, guys. Well, and then I sat down with Andy in the studio alone again, and we did the what the world could look like if we actually did what Jesus said. And that was a pretty fun conversation.
Yeah, those are always fun.
Actually agreed a lot. Like, man, the world would be a better place if we actually did what he said.
I feel like most people would.
Yeah,
really?
I think so.
Agree with that. Yeah, at least generally.
Yeah.
At least generally.
Then we got into the Feasts of the Lord. We started talking about the Sabbath and all of, you know, the Feast of First Fruits and waving and all the grains and all that stuff. We interviewed actor Brett Prieto.
Yeah.
Remember Brett? That was one that was done with a Zoom call.
Yeah.
He's a friend of ours out from California. And then we did this weird thing, something that I'm going to bring up now.
We don't ever do nothing weird, Rick.
So the year before, we all tried to go through the book of the Epistle to Hebrews.
Yes.
And it was called It's Time to Grow Up.
Uh-huh.
Study of the Epistle to the Hebrews.
Yep.
And we tried winging it. We tried me writing notes on it. We tried bringing Zach Davis's teaching in on it. And we literally cannot do it. We cannot.
Oh yeah,
do it.
That's right. That did peter out, didn't it?
The Zach Davis thing
too.
It's like that old lemon car. You just cannot get that thing to run right.
And the fact is,
segment.
What, like, we all get along in here, and we all agree to disagree about specific things. But Hebrews forces you to pick your paradigm.
Oh yeah, you gotta pick a lane.
Forces it. You've got to pick the lane.
Got to pick it.
Are you going to see it as fulfilled? Or are you going to see it as partially fulfilled? Or are you going to say it as completely future?
Most people are doing 45 in the left lane.
And I'm telling you, every time we start to talk about it, it goes off the rails like a crazy train.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. But yeah, for real. I mean, we have not been able to do it. So this year,
oh boy.
Rick Welch, not the guy in Vermont, but the guy here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I have made the decision to memorize that entire book.
Get out.
Listen, I've already done it once in my life. But I memorized it in the King James Version. I'm going to memorize it in Rick's favorite, the Christian Standard Bible. I like that version. I'm going to memorize it completely. And then I'm going to perform it as if it's Paul preaching at a synagogue.
Wow.
I am so excited about that. I cannot wait
Now, listen, there are scholars today.
Popcorn's on me.
And I, there are scholars today that think that Luke actually wrote the Epistle to the Hebrews, but that he was taking notes from a sermon of Paul, because it sounds like Paul, but it's written like Luke.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to perform it as if I'm Paul doing a synagogue, like teaching.
I am very excited about this. I am unreasonably excited.
Then I'm going to get through the Epistle to the Hebrews, and y'all can just pound sand.
Yeah.
You're all on your own.
Say pound sand?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have no idea where that comes from, but I've heard it a lot.
Y'all can pound sand. I have never heard that.
Just go do it and see how well it works out for you.
Yeah.
Pound sand, it doesn't get you much.
Okay. Good to know.
Anyway, so that will be happening. Also, so in June, we interviewed our friend Luke McInnes, who's over in
Australia.
Yep, super nice guy.
Tried to do a study with him, but it's really hard because the time links are, it's so far apart, it's hard to link up.
It really is. And
he's such a good guy.
I'm speaking at a conference in Australia this year, but I'm speaking from Zoom. I'm not actually going over. That's changed because it's too close to my other conference. And it's this Don Preston and Luke McInnes will be speaking, as well as a man named Al Person, who I just met. And they're 16 hours ahead of us. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but, it's a long time.
Yeah, like their day is over and we're just now starting.
Yeah,
you know, so
it's like
going to talk at like 1 a.m. or something.
We actually talked at my 7 p.m. and it was his like morning, noon time where he.
And I did. His was late. His was like 9 o'clock in the afternoon and mine was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So,
Right. Well, we continued that year. We continued our study of the Feast of the Lord, which we have not finished yet. That's still, you know, a side study that we just kind of come back to here and there. And then we caught up with Sarita on the campaign trail in June. And it's so wild to think that, you know, today she was standing on the house floor.
Yeah.
Like, it is, yeah.
It's wild to think about because I remember when this was just a dream and she was pounding the pavement and she was knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And she was doing it the old-fashioned way. And every time I go talk to her, she was just absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
Just trying so hard.
She lost like 10 pounds.
Yeah, 18 pounds.
18 pounds?
18 pounds. Holy mackerel. Running for office is good for you if you want to lose some weight.
Pound sand.
But it's all flat.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told her you don't have to literally run for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all flat. There's no hills.
We met and had a testimony episode with Kirsten Brooks Barton.
Yep.
Remember, she came up here from Myrtle Beach.
Sure did.
She's a fun person. She just was like, she wasn't really a moderator. But Alan Bondar, the atheist, spoke with Ward Finley, the full preterist covenant creation guy. They had this discussion, and Kirsten was handling the questions that were coming in from the YouTube comments. And there was this like crazy dude that got, I don't know who he was, but it was like bot. Crazy. I mean, it was crazy stuff. Like, and they will drink the blood of all the children. Oh. And I was like, who is this goof?
Did they get into the Ward Finley pooping?
If you don't know what that means, I'm sorry. It was in a debate between him and Sam Frost.
Yes.
And he actually asked the question, did Jesus defecate?
Did Jesus poop?
And everybody was like,
holy shit.
That was literal. And honestly, we all were like, why did you say it?
What are you doing?
No.
Gosh, that's a Billy question right there.
It is. So, yeah.
Okay, don't leave me hanging. What was the answer?
Yeah.
So he refused to answer the question. Frost refused. He said, I'm not even going to dignify that response to that discussion.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Yes.
That is the only correct answer.
I'm with you on Frost. Like, let's not go there, shall we? And it was really funny because Jeremiah Nortier was like, or Nortier, however you say it, he put out like this little face bubble and he was like, oh, it went off the rails. It really did.
That's funny.
On July 4th, actually, we revisited contradictions in the Bible. We went back to see and still the answer was no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that where, did we have Dr. Eric Smith on that?
That was Ralph. Let's see. Ralph had done the original study of contradictions of the Bible, and then we had Dr. Eric Smith that followed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, that's exactly right. That was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, was that in notes?
It was both, because what happened was—
That's right.
I showed my ass, And
nice.
Not upset. And so I asked Eric, I was like, look, I think that things went sideways. And could you please listen to this episode and then maybe come visit? And like, I don't know if I've ever said any of this on air.
Really?
No, I don't know if I've ever said any of this on air. So here we go, everyone. This will be a lot of fun for me. So I sent the episode to Eric and I was like, look, this is what we're trying to figure out. Like, Dr. Eric Smith is a professor of New Testament studies at Iliff School of Theology. He had wrote a book on Acts. Like, he's a New Testament scholar. And so I was like, look, this is kind of what we're talking about. And it really wasn't even supposed to be contradictions in the Bible. It was a Dan McClellan TikTok that was about how sometimes the conceptualization seemed to change over time. And there was like a specific verse that said, no one's ever seen the face of God. But then it was like, but then how did Jacob wrestle with God? And it was like, well, no, Jacob wrestled with an angel. And he was like, well, no, it used to be. Anyway, that was the whole thing. So what happened there? That was the conversation.
Right.
And so I sent it to Eric and I was like, would you be willing to come in and like talk about New Testament studies and like, you know, contradictions, especially in like the four gospels and the other. So he listened to it and he texted me back and he was like, to be honest, this entire episode needs mad fact checking.
That's what he texted me.
Well, welcome to the Burrows, but welcome to this ass right here.
Yeah.
Because I
in
was
particular.
The one that, yeah, because I did a lot of shit. I did a lot of talking. And so he was like,
female
and
ass
I was
is
like,
a Jenny.
And I said, well, that's okay. That was why I asked you to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because I think I think we need some clarification on some of these things so that we're not just, you know, saying whatever the F comes right off the dome. Yep. And he was like, I was like, so, you know, tell me. And he was like, no. He goes, I don't. He goes, and by the way, like, this is a person like who was my professor, who obviously like I admire and look up to and like think he's really smart and like.
He was,
you know,
very, very smart and very
so
nice.
He's so kind.
Such a humble dude.
Yeah, Eric is really cool. He likes to be called Eric, you know, so Eric's very cool. And you know, his mom lives in Black Mountain.
Yes.
So I've been checking on him and his mom's okay now. His brother and stuff have been helping her. Her access road was washed out during Helene and right. She didn't have water for a couple weeks. But anyway, so he was like, I don't want to be the police. And so I had to sit there. Well, I didn't have to, but I chose to because honestly, like, if you claim to follow Christ and yet humility is not one of your foundational tenets, I think that maybe we should have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, it was like, I'm not going to choose pride. I don't want to be arrogant. If I think that I have a right to sit in front of a microphone and tell people a thing or two about the Bible, then I need to be willing to have a thing or two told to me.
Is that when you developed Whoops?
That was when I started the Whoops.
The Whoops segment
that was
of notes
when I,
where you're saying.
Yep, where I, yeah. A segment Whoops. Of the show I lovingly refer to as Whoops, which is yep. where we start off the episode with what I said wrong last time.
Yes.
Although I think I might have, I actually like created Whoops for the astrology series, but that was part of that.
Yeah.
And so then he came on and did an interview and I had to like, I listened to the whole episode and anytime I made a claim of any type, I went back to my books, I went back to my studies, I went back to my notes, and I made sure that it got a little like verified check mark. And if it didn't, then I started that episode with being like, these are some of the things that I said that were wrong, and this is the correct answer. And
yeah.
It didn't turn out, I don't think it turned out to be anything like earth shattering,
mm-hmm.
but it still was like a really important kind of pivotal moment for me in terms of like how I navigate how and what I bring to the table in my own studies and also as a guest on this show.
Yeah.
You know, it was a pretty pivotal and important.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I said any of that, but you guys aired that episode on Burrows.
We
ended
did.
Up being both.
Yeah. And he, for his book, it's called Paul the Progressive.
Mm.
And if you guys go to episode 201, you can find a link to that book. And also he has a blog titled A Lover's Quarrel. There's a link there to that. And then he talked about If God Still Breathes, Why Can't I by Angela Parker, uh-huh. and he also talked about God's Ghostwriters, Enslaved Christians, and the Making of the Bible by Candida Moss.
I read that one.
Now I'm remembering that episode.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
brain's finally catching up.
Yeah, it took me a hot minute too. I shared a sermon from Father's Day called How Do I Make My Calling and Election Sure? We continued to try with Hebrews and we're massively failing. Then we interviewed Ed Stevens.
Yes.
And Ed Stevens is a guy that I'd really wanted to talk to a long time. He became a full preterist in 1973,
wow.
and I was born in 75, so.
Pretty early.
Yeah, very early. And then he developed the individual body view in 1993, which is the year that I graduated high school. And so these guys have been in it a long time, and so I wanted to talk to him. I enjoyed that conversation with Ed. I respect the man. I think he does a lot of good work. And that was
a pivotal episode.
And then we did the Dying, Dead, and Death, a conversation with him. That was the next episode with Ed, where you and Ed really got into that.
I'd limited to some extent on that one, yeah, just for the sake of it. But the episode before that with Ed was, the viewers couldn't see it, but that was a pretty pivotal episode for me.
Yep.
What was his last name?
Stevens.
Ed Stevens.
Yep. Edward E. Stevens. He's a pretty prolific writer. He informed me that he only has a master's degree. It's like, okay.
How dare he?
I have a certificate from Dairy Queen. How far does that get me?
You might get a free cone.
He helped me uncode, and he'll know he'll disagree with me, but he helped me uncode 1 Corinthians 15.
Right, yeah, that was one of the things that...
While
we were talking, he was over there like his brain. Have you ever seen the emoji with the mind blowing?
Yeah,
what his face looked like.
It was smoking the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe he... It completely unraveled the whole chapter for me.
I'm going to have to go back. See, I'm going to go back and re-listen to those two episodes, because sometimes I start something and then get interrupted and don't get back to it. Because then now there's a new episode.
The second part was probably just somewhat maybe okay. The first one he did well, but I didn't really get into the part what he started to, just reading it and some of the key words that he was saying. And then when I went back and read it, it really unraveled it for me. Mm. And I've gone back and reread that chapter several times. Mm-hmm. And my opinion is we're missing what Paul is trying to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection.
Yeah. And that's, again, as soon as you start opening your mouth about it, you're going to have every different view that's going to freak out.
They're going to go nuts. Every less
every view is going to freak out over
I want to hear it.
And the thing is, they're all right. They don't understand how they're right.
Well, let's do that on a separate episode. Let's let him talk about 1 Corinthians 15 the way that he interprets it, and then I will send everybody to his email.
Yeah.
And then he can answer all the questions.
Totally not answer
we can do it a notes episode if you want.
Because it
sounds like it's going to fall right in line with my current study, because this sounds like the thing I'm doing now on heaven and hell. It's turning into I wasn't trying to decode eschatology or figure out what my own eschatological beliefs were.
You cannot get away from it.
But you can't stop. You have to.
It's kind of
metamorphosized.
It's one third of the scriptures, into a larger, guys.
That's notes from eschatology the other side, everyone.
Is one third of the Bible.
From the other side, featuring TZ.
Well, so we three can, you know,
yes,
if you want, Billy, obviously,
and then
you're welcome with, but only if you bring Zach Nuts.
And then in August, we got to announce that Sarita had won the election.
Yeah, that was cool.
And so we did a follow up on how to win an election with her. We started working on the armor of God, and then I shared Importunity Knox, the power of persistent prayer. Yep. And I think TZ, I think you were there for that one. I can't remember. Yeah, I think that was the sermon you came and listened to me speak. Then we had one of my great friends, Daniel Rogers, come up.
Yes.
From Alabama.
He did like a 3 or 4 part series.
Yeah, he did the eschatology of John.
He did.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. And I really enjoyed Daniel Rogers is a young guy, very talented guy. I spoke with him at the Advancing the Faith Conference up at Blue Point Bible Church this past November. And of course, he was phenomenal. He's also a phenomenal musician.
Yes.
So we had Daniel Rogers in the Alabama house. And then we started the study we're still working on, A Man Greatly Beloved, a study of the book of Daniel. We started that in September. And we've only done 4 chapters.
Well, that's because the world went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. It did.
And nobody could do anything about that.
We didn't
especially up in this area.
Yes. A national disaster. Yet.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm specifically ecological mean here. Disaster. That's what I mean. I'm talking about Helene, you know. Yeah. Things went bonkers for a couple months there.
That's right. We interviewed a guy that Dawson Wylop, who told me about this gentleman. Excuse me. Dawson is from Washington State. And so he had introduced us to Zachary Ball. And he wrote the book Unveiled, a First Century Narrative of John's Revelation. And The Appointed Time, a commentary on the book of Daniel with a supplemental narrative of Jesus's Olivet Discourse. He was a pretty fascinating guy. What else did we do? We kept trying that Hebrews. It just kept tanking.
Did we do any Hebrews after the hurricane?
We did.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, we had recorded it. We just hadn't released it. Released after.
In my brain, I was like, I don't remember any more of that after. Yeah.
Yeah, we were then listening to Zach Davis's Sunday School lessons and talking about it. And then I did the Montana Wild series.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
that's cool. When I went up to where Tim Martin brought me and Steve Magua up to
this
Whitehall.
Is where all of the awesome audio that Andy had to listen to and deal with.
Actually, from that point on. He actually liked the echo. He actually said I did a good job with the recordings when I was in Montana. It was after that that I sucked it up pretty good.
you're not the only one.
Yeah. He was like, it's actually not too bad. I mean, I had laid a blanket out and I was in the chicken coop and I had my little lavalier mics. It was not too bad.
Intelligibility is, I didn't say that right. I smeared the word intelligibility. So let's
but
try
we
again.
Got, yeah.
Intelligibility is the gold standard, right? When it gets hard to understand, then you've got the real problems.
Yeah. Which was pretty much the last half of the last
part
of the year.
You're not speaking metaphorically. You laid a blanket out in a chicken coop because I thought you were writing a romance novel for a second.
The chicken coop was the name of a small Airbnb that was off the grid.
Got it.
It was very small.
Okay. Got it.
Very cool. I should show you pictures.
I was like, Fabio might be available for the cover of that book.
So when I go back to speak.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I laid a blanket down.
In the chicken coop.
In the chicken coop. The sound quality was amazing. I'm like, what the
There was this white powdery stuff everywhere.
What are you guys talking about? Okay.
But I got I interviewed Tim Martin, the writer of Beyond Creation Science. Who is, you know, this is where Covenant Creation, you know, and the discussions come from his book that he and J.L. Vaughn wrote. And then I also met with Pastor Steve Magua from the Well Church in St. Louis. He was up there and I got to hear his testimonies. Fascinating. Tim and his wife have 9 children and Steve and his wife have 8. It's really wild, you know, to think about how many kids. And I got to meet all but one of Tim's kids and they're all phenomenal people. And then I interviewed Tim's wife. And Steve's wife.
But not in the chicken coop.
In the chicken coop. I was in the chicken coop for all of it.
They wouldn't even, they wouldn't let him out, actually.
No, that's where I stayed.
Get on in here with this big rooster.
Right. And then I wrapped up that series with asking the question, what is covenant creation anyway? And the easiest way, I'm just going to make a real brief statement here. Because I'm speaking at the Eschatology of Genesis Conference.
I feel hate email coming on.
I've already had it. I've already had people sending me hate mail about this because I'm actually going to speak there. I'm not a covenant creationist, but I'm bringing something.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%. And I'm also bringing something that I feel they're going to compare
notes.
Somehow
you're not very convincing.
That's what I hear, that we're just lying about it, but I'm not. And the thing is, when I ask the question, here's what covenant creation is all about. It's really simple. It's very simple, actually. From the full preterist paradigm, we say everything is fulfilled. So if Jesus says, heaven and earth must pass away.
It must already be done.
So if we are alive today and what we think is the physical creation has not been destroyed, but yet it's a spiritual thing, what was that heaven and earth that Jesus was talking about? And the Bible actually defines it for you. It does. If you read from the Old Testament all the way up to the New Testament, it tells you what heaven and earth is. And in Revelation, behold, the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, right? So if you believe everything is fulfilled, then it's no longer about physical things. So covenant creation takes that paradigm and says, okay, if it's spiritual, then what if we backtrack it all the way back to Genesis 1? And when he's saying God created the heaven and the earth, that it's actually talking about covenant structure and it has nothing to do with physical universe whatsoever.
Oh, I've never heard
and
that.
And then when he starts talking about like the creation of the specific animals, that these animals aren't what you think because the rest of scripture use these animal tags as people groups, right? Think about it. Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Or he says, my sheep.
Yeah.
Or the lion or the wolf.
How
shall
I've longed to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks, Israel.
And we can see that as like, you know, a comparison like, oh, we can see that imagery, but they're saying that like when you go back in the Old Testament, like these people groups, like even thorns and thistles are considered people groups. And when you think about Paul saying, and I had this thorn in the flesh, you know, they were like, well, maybe it was a person that was like buffeting him and giving him a problem or whatever, instead of him being blind. Anyway, they're asking the question, if we know that it's not about physical creation, then was Genesis 1 actually about physical creation, or is it a covenant structure?
Or is it just a metaphor that an ancient people used to try to understand the creation of their world the best they could with their limited
That's kind of where I'm at. It's like I see it as physical, but I also see it as metaphorical. And, you know, look, that's above my pay grade. And I don't get paid. I spend a lot of money. So I don't have to answer anybody, so everybody can forget him. So anyway, how you like them apples?
Pound sand.
But yeah, you can pound sand.
I watched a comedian recently that was like, I don't have to listen to any of you people. Because matter of fact, you paid to sit here and listen to me. I didn't pay shit for any of you. So yeah. I don't have to listen to anything you say, but you actually paid to sit here and listen to me. So whatever your thoughts and feelings are about this comedy session, I can.
That was
begin
my idea in the
to
beginning.
Tell you how little I care.
My idea is like, if I pay so for funny. It, you guys can suck it. But I've sure. never done that. I've never done that to
but
anybody.
Not in the chicken coop.
So when we get to November 7th, that's when we start talking about after the Hurricane Helene disaster. Yeah. Fortunately, I had all of those episodes from Montana that I could release during that hellacious time. We continued our study
so
of Daniel.
So as the listener, you're welcome.
Yes. And then on November 21st, we released the episode, even though he had come here prior to the storm, Dan McClellan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a fun – I enjoyed that a
lot. It was fun to talk
getting about. To meet him – and get, you know, face to face, sitting down and having going to Rocky's Hot Chicken Shack, you know, and sitting down with him. And that was just a lot of fun. Tiziana and him both wearing a Wolverine shirt, which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And some of that
not
stuff.
Not on purpose either.
I mean, so I knew that Wolverine was his favorite
Marvel comic.
Superhero.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was into comics because I've been following Dan on social media for a while. And so I knew that. So I had like planned on wearing that anyways, just because I'm that. I'll wear this Wolverine t-shirt and see if he notices. Right? Edit piano sound, Andy. But you know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize he was going to do the same. I don't think I realized he was going to wear that shirt too.
I know.
And so like we both came in like sporting our Wolverine t-shirts and I was like, what's
such
up?
A groupie.
I know.
And I think Rick and I were wearing our Giraffe Studio shirts, weren't we? The green ones?
I feel, yeah.
I think right. we were.
I think yeah. so.
We were representing.
I was Wolverine for Halloween.
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God. I bet you were amazing.
He was also the Kool-Aid man.
Do you have photographs? I want to see that.
Is that in the group or just you?
No. Okay. Just text those to me privately.
I don't know how you get the hair.
I'm just curious. Yeah. Did you wear skin-tight pants and show the Zagnut?
I had to wear shorts. My girls made me wear shorts at the campground. You know? So when we were trick or treating, I had to put shorts on because I didn't want to. They were
Dad,
like, Dad,
put that away.
Stop.
With pants so tight, you could tell what religion he was.
Yeah. Talking about them Zagnus.
That's funny.
That's good. Well, then we did another swap cast where I was on Luke McInnes's podcast called What's the Point Anyway, where he asked me the question. What's the point anyway? Mm-hmm. And so I answered.
That's a good one.
Episode 223, if you guys want to check it out. And then we did the Bible Sandbox, where you and I did the different perspective on the Gospels, where it was kind of like the mob. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Where you were like, where Jesus was beaten and nobody could recognize him. And
yeah,
that, like,
so,
and, that was a fun episode.
Yes, to looking at different perspectives, which I've gone through and restudied the temptation scene.
Yep.
And
you've come to a different conclusion now.
A little bit change on things from that original episode.
We might do a follow-up, but that was just fun to think about it in that light. You know, like if it, you know, was – we used you – actually, Tiziana kicked it off for us a long time ago because she had said that there were people that thought that the disciples were decoys.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so we played on that, and we went further like, wait a minute, why didn't the whole city go into an uproar whenever they captured Jesus?
Jesus was crucified and they really did not know it.
Yeah. And he was beaten beyond recognition.
Doubting Thomas wasn't the fact that he was really doubting it from the standpoint, but if you've got Peter coming in and telling the disciples during the time of Passover where the city is absolutely packed that they had just murdered Christ, he's died, they buried him in the ground, and he's been resurrected in that amount of time, Thomas is looking at him like, you're crazy, Peter. There's no way, and nobody knows about it?
Yeah.
This whole city would have gone crazy.
Well, they didn't exactly have, you know, Polaroids back then. The scriptures tell us that he sent his disciples out in his name to do, and he sent more than just 12. He sent the 52 or 70. Yeah. And wasn't there a 52 and a 70?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
72 was the second time.
72 is the second time. Yeah. So there's, you know, so there's all these people kind of like.
And the reason they beat him to a pulp. Well, so they could walk him out the back door and nobody would know who he was.
And they did it at night.
Everything
was done at night under the cover of darkness.
Most everything was done at night. Now, they walked him out during the daytime.
Oh, that guy, that must
have
sucked.
And they beat him to a pulp, so they literally did not know who he was.
Yeah, and only a few of the people that were his closest, like his family and his closest followers, were the ones that stuck with him.
Less than five people were actually there that actually knew who he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're so surrounded, you don't speak up. You put him in a burial tomb that he's buried, and you only put a minimal amount of security there. When you got a massive city of people that just ushered him in a few days
ago. I mean, think about it. Yeah. They went nuts. They went nuts when he was coming into the city. So why is it 7 days later they just forget about him?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting.
So that's it's all your fault. That's why
did
we
I
down. Not?
How did I miss that episode? Probably because it was the middle of Helene. It came out.
Well, it was because we were doing it online.
Yeah, we did it.
That came out. That's why. It's episode 224.
Andy loved the tar out of that one with the audio.
Yeah, yeah, he loved it
so
much. There were one to two that were very special.
Yes. They were so special, he text blasted us, like, for the love of Pete.
Was that when Andy sent out that big group text about this is what everybody needs to buy from now on if you're going to be recording at home?
I tried to make it cheap.
Holy cow,
welcome. He did. But yes, that was a very good one, and I'm still working on it. And I've been spending a lot of time really going between the Synoptic Gospels and reading them together. And in essence, weaving those stories in on top of each other.
Yeah. Well, and that's what that series is going to be, an ongoing series. We introduced it this year. The Bible Sandbox is whenever we really think outside and we play. We play with these things and we think about them. And sometimes it leads to nowhere. And sometimes it's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And we really start looking into something and it becomes legit. And you're like, wait, that's pretty wild.
When you brought up the point of the disciple or the disciples being decoys.
I can't remember where I read that either.
Speculative?
Yes.
Possibly 100% because it's not written.
Sure.
But let's look at the context of what was going on during that period of time and the things that were happening. And can we deduce that if there any reality to it? And when you were talking about the type of ruleship that Christ was born under or born into, it was a massive controlling I don't think we have a concept of how strong it was.
Are you talking about Roman occupation of
Roman
Jerusalem?
Roman occupation.
And the Israel in general?
Everything.
Well, and also considering occupying a group of people who had literally just beat the tar out of their original oppressors a couple hundred years prior, who had thrown off, Antioch of Epiphanes and the Seleucid dynasty. That's a pretty big deal.
The true Israelites had basically turned all their armor into, they become farmers. The true Israelites were all farmers now.
The ones that were left got left behind during the deportation to Babylon because they took all the scribes and all the wealthy families. They left all the poor people at home. I guess they beat their swords into plowshares.
And that was part of the talk that were the prophecy that they would beat their swords into plowshares. Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah.
A lot of the parables were about farming, were about seeds, planting, vineyards, orchards.
Very agricultural parables.
Agricultural stuff that's all Israel was doing. The ruleship of the temple had then been taken basically over by the Edomians.
Yeah, we've actually went through that and proven that, which are the Edomites, descendants of the Edomites.
That come from the line of Esau.
Caiaphas was Edomian. Yeah, all the way back to Esau.
So it's kind of, again, it's a speculative thought, but when God said that he hated Esau, why did he hate him himself, except for the fact that his family would eventually be the ones that would kill his son?
Yeah, so it gets deep, bro. That's the Bible Sandbox for you.
I definitely want to come sit down on some of those. I like that you also were like not trying to like, we're just chit-chatting. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not trying to say that we've got any archaeological evidence for any of these thought processes, and anybody out there with a DR behind their name, don't get your panties in a twist. We're just talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing but Bible context. Oh, yeah. With putting a
picture. And we got, so the next episode I did in the Bible Sandbox.
I just wanted the extra to that whole conversation. I waited too long to put this in. Thomas means twin.
Yes. Yeah, Didymus. Like, Thomas called Didymus. He is the twin.
Yes.
And we don't know who his twin brother was.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Well, I mean, if you're talking about him having body doubles.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. Oh!
Could Thomas be the body double of Jesus?
Well, and I, you know what? I remember now where I read that, because that was when I was studying about, it was when I was doing my study on Mary Magdalene.
Yes, that's
because,
right.
Because, and the way that the 12 have been like idealized and lifted up out of all the other disciples as being like the most important or like whatever, when in reality, Jesus had tons of disciples. Plenty of them were women. The Bible tells us so. Mary was the first person that he appeared to in all of the Gospels, which is very unusual.
I don't remember. It was one of the years where we talked about like how much financing actually came.
Yeah, from Joanna. Joanna, specifically, yeah. Who was one of the, who was the wife of some...
Chusa.
Yes. And Susanna.
Who was the, like a household dude in King Herod's...
Yeah. Joanna, Susanna, court. Suzanne, and Mary Magdalene. But anyways, the point is, during that conversation, as I was reading, that's where that came up. That it was like the point of the 12 wasn't necessarily... Like, you think about how he went and picked him out. You. He was picking out people that looked like him.
Yes. Mm.
He wasn't picking them out because they were more special than all the other people that were his disciples.
They were
the 72, the 50,
they were
the
illiterate.
Women,
they could not read. They
like
couldn't write.
Him is the...
Yes.
But, you know, oh, man, stop. Sandbox.
So, yeah. So the whole point is that Christ
I'm
was...
I'm pounding sand. I know. I can because now I'm thinking about all kinds of other stuff.
He was 007. Under the radar the entire time.
Yeah.
He was not anything
that
we portrayed. When the beginning, when you said we got it all wrong, we're really getting it all wrong.
We really are. Yeah.
Because we have no clue.
Yeah. He was a mysterious person. And he was like...
So all of you people that have read your Bible and thought you read it, you're wrong.
You're wrong. And we're right.
Everybody. Pound for 2,000 years.
Because Rick's paying pound for it.
I thought I was lost, but y'all don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It took 5 seasons for you to figure out that none of us know what we're talking about.
Exactly. What are we doing?
The other Bible sandbox that we did was with Chris Lombardi. And I had been wanting to interview Chris for a long time. He studied Hebrew and Greek for 33 years. And so it was a lot of fun. And he had listened to a study that I've been doing, which I haven't released on this yet. I'm going to eventually. But I've been doing a Revelation study with 4 other guys. And it's been pretty wild. But he sent me a message and was like, hey, I think you guys got a few things wrong. And here's what it is, that the Hebrews that were writing these books in Greek were actually using Hebrew phrases and creating Greek words to say what they actually meant. And so he was showing me some of those. It was fascinating. And
maybe he can teach us Hebrew.
You know, he could. And he showed me a lot of the ways in which, you know, I can go about it. He showed me a few tools that you can use that actually are very helpful. And it's not like Strong's Concordance. I can't remember what it's called now, but we talk about it on that episode. But that was a fun sandbox. And he is going to come back. We've already talked about doing some more. Hello, all you Burroughs listeners. If you guys want to help us financially keep this podcast going, just go to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. Let me say that again, www.patreon, that's patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. We have several different levels that you can give at. So again, if you'd like to help us keep this podcast on the air, then just give us all your money at www.patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. Thanks, guys. Then around Christmas time, I had a nice conversation with Gary Namar, and we talked about movies.
That was pretty fun.
I really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah.
Where I told him, I was like, do you want to talk about something not heavy and that we're, no one is going to shoot us or take our families? You know, and he's like, yes.
Or write us letters.
Or ask us 3 questions, and if we don't answer, we're going to lose everything we own.
Let's not play Squid Games this time.
Yeah, exactly. Then I did an episode, What Do I Actually Believe? And that's because I was coming under fire because I'm going to be speaking at a Covenant Creation Conference and MICBB or IBB, or all that stuff. So I answered that there in episode 227.
CBB, IBB, IBS, who knows?
IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
You know what's interesting? When I respond with my responses, I get nothing.
No?
Nobody.
From what?
Nobody. Nothing.
You mean like no emails?
Responses in online, I get nothing.
Really?
They literally do not do anything to it. They completely like it's ghosted.
Really?
And I mean, not only have I recently get comments deleted when I...
That's brutal. He actually wrote this whole response and this dude actually deleted all of his comments.
Just completely deleted it.
Yeah.
Why?
It wanted a response. I gave him a simple to the point precise response. And
I'm not going to say the name.
No, don't do it.
But
don't
do honestly,
it. Don't do it.
Narcissism rules in a lot of people's hearts, especially on Facebook.
And then people want responses, so you respond, and then you get nothing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, and then I did a swapcast where I spoke at the Advancing the Faith on and the greatest of these is love, where I talked about that amazing preacher that saved the life of that Guatemalan man during the Rodney King riots. Then we got for the first time the testimony of Cherry Lewis.
Yes.
And I don't know if you listened to it. Oh, yeah. That was heart-wrenching.
Man, that was powerful.
That was heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. And my friend Karen Rogers just listened to it last night.
That's big block.
But here's what's funny about that. I woke up this morning and I had like 8 texts because what she does, Karen will listen to it and she, while she's listening, she will live text me questions while she's listening.
Yeah.
But it's like 12:30 in the morning. I'm asleep and I wake up and my phone's like, bing, 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 you know, and I was like, what's going on? But Karen had a nice talk with Cherry today and they have a lot in common and it's pretty cool. And then I shared my sermon that I did on audience relevance. And then we talked about Miss Edgerton goes to Columbia.
Yep.
Then that brings us up to the last episode that we had, which was our chapter 4 of A Man Greatly Beloved, study of the book of Daniel. And we're going to continue that study because we seem to be able to get through it. But as soon as we get to the later chapters, it's going to get craziness.
It's going
to
get nuts.
It's going to get nuts. It has to.
It has to, because then, perspective matters.
It does.
And your eschatology matters.
Don't say that word.
But listen.
You're going to
don't say the word.
You... You know what? I have IBS too. Irritable bitch syndrome.
That's funny.
You have to. You have. But no matter how hard you fight it, it comes up. It's there. It's at the front of your plate. It's not the peas you want to turn your plate around and not eat.
That's right.
It's always there.
You have
there.
To make a decision about your eschatology.
So all in all, and just let's wrap this episode up with just, you know, a few sentences from each of you guys. Like, I ask this every year, but, you know, what has this podcast meant for you or to you or about you, like whatsoever? Anything, Billy? You got anything, bro?
Yeah, still. I enjoy it.
Do you?
Yeah. I still enjoy coming, hanging out with you guys. You just, you know, a lot of times it sounds like you guys are speaking Spanish. Like you're way knowledgeable or not than I am, you know, if that makes sense.
It's true. And, we say a lot and don't really know much.
I like, you know, I like the Santa Claus effect still.
Yeah.
You know, I just believe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I still enjoy coming and like the stories of Daniel. That's cool. I enjoy those.
Yeah.
And listening and studying. Some of the stuff, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Have you learned some, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like my faith is stronger.
Good.
I do read the Bible more, talk to God a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, that's probably just here, getting older, Helene, just a combination, mm-hmm. and just living.
You know,
just good old-fashioned living. So I can't believe I come up with 4 years of candy jokes.
I know.
Oh, my God, right?
That's pretty,
and we just hit pretty, the Zagnut today.
Yes.
That's pretty dumb.
Like, what else is left? So,
it's kind of dumb. But anyway, nowhere near an eye candy, but I'll take it. And
whatever. Whatever.
But I enjoy this. I enjoy this, Rick.
Viewers, I wish you could see this.
So, yeah, man. So are you enjoying it still?
Yeah.
You're going to stick around?
Yeah, I'll stick around as much as I can. And, you know, with summer coming on and the girls playing sports and stuff.
Yeah, that's part of it.
You know, and I will get over to your pool. But
we're going to have our pool party that we talked about for a solid year.
Yeah, exactly. You can watch me eat a hot dog.
Yeah.
Never take a bite. Okay.
And never use his hands.
That sounds like another chicken coop.
That's our ongoing joke.
I'm gonna send all you guys the Glizzy Gobbler video.
Oh yes. Oh,
I don't know what that is.
Amazing.
That's
Gen Z bibble babble nonsense.
Bingo.
Is what it is.
You got it.
It's Gen Z. It's not English. Shut up. That's what that is.
Ah,
what, the Glizzy Gobbler?
Send it to me.
Glizzy, he gobbles glizzies.
I know, but glizzies
in
general.
I failed to see the problem.
I can't believe you've even said Glizzy
like 3 times.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, what about you, Tiziana?
You know, I think that...
Pregnant pause.
Yeah. Well, it's a big question.
Yeah.
You know, what has this podcast taught you? What have you taken from the last year? You know, it's actually a really big question because it's been a big year.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm absolutely, my relationship to these texts themselves has changed a lot. I went from being absolutely certain that I knew what they said to being absolutely certain that I have no idea what they said, to a place where I'm comfortable with, I'm comfortable with the things that help me be a good person, and I'm okay if that's just for me.
Yeah.
And I don't need it to be for everybody else.
Right.
And I'm just okay with that. I just want to be clay. I don't want to be glass. I mm-hmm. don't want to be rigid. I don't want to be iron anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that really like happened in the course of last year. Yeah. I think that, you know, especially like taking on notes and moving it from, you know, a side study here and kind of turning into its own podcast as well. I think I realized just the magnitude and the weight of making claims that are static, and this is what it says and this is what it means, and I don't think that's a responsibility I really want to carry. I mean, Sarita said it one time. She said, "I'm not a shepherd, I'm a sheep."
Mm-hmm.
And I am not an expert, and I'm not a teacher. I'm just a person trying to do my best to figure out how to be a good person.
I don't know. You've taught me quite a bit.
Yeah, same
and
here.
And that's an accident, and I'm grateful for it, right? But, like, I don't think, like, but I don't want that to be, I don't want to tell nobody nothing.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't, you know, and I used to want
there's
to
a lot
tell
of weight.
People
there's a weight
something.
That comes with it if you actually care.
Exactly. There's and I weight. Think that's really sort of like what has happened for me in the last year, both being a part of this podcast and then also like, you know, making notes from the other side, its own thing, and having to sort of, you know, be responsible for that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. How about you, Rick?
Man. In my biblical space, I mean, this podcast and the group of friends here, you know, y'all mean the world to me. I mean, you really do.
You've become like my best friend. Like, I talk to him every day.
Almost every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and if we don't talk, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Usually.
And
I hang up on him all the time.
And isn't it weird you just won a contest online? Right? Isn't that how you got here?
No.
It wasn't a contest.
No, it wasn't a contest.
It was just a message.
It was a Facebook thing.
It was a completely randomized thing.
I just said, I was trepidatious coming into this conversation. Please be gentle. And he liked the way that I said that.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I responded to him, and something out of context for me to do even now. Because like at times I'm not a huge commenter. I read a lot, kind of a Facebook stalker in ways. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me feel like I don't know if I want him to be my friend anymore.
Yeah, I understand.
Just kidding.
I understand totally. Absolutely. I know
that's
wrong.
I'll quit posting pictures. Weirdo.
You go to Rick's house.
Hey, look, man.
You go to Carter's house. There's like in a back bedroom, there's like a shrine built to Rick and the Bros.
Or it's a beautiful mind.
Photographs from all of his Facebook pictures.
Billy's the eye candy for sure. But I'm that candy in your grandma's house in that glass thing that's just been sitting there.
And it's kind of all melted together.
It's hard candy.
You can't get one piece out of it for nothing.
Some of them's not wrapped. You know, who knows if it's been put back.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And you can't tell if the color's from the dust or it's actually the way it was made.
Manufactured that way.
That's kind of me. But I mean, guys, y'all mean the world to me. I can be who I want to be at all times. And I mean, I can say to you, especially in our conversations, Rick, some of the most outlandish and craziest things, and I know that it's crazy, but I mean, you listen and you accept and we move on.
I don't always accept, but I listen and I care.
Well, I mean, we accept that we're who we are.
Yeah.
We accept who we are.
Yes, yes.
I mean, do we agree? Absolutely not on every case.
Right.
And we still debate or argue and, you know, to our points of view and I mean, I love it, every bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm as much as I have been, you know, through my work into preterism to where I am now, it it's always some bit through anger, because when you keep finding something wrong, he's like, man, why is it wrong? Why were we wrong?
Yeah.
Why? So I feel like I'm shifting gears, getting deeper, reading into things, that allowing to the speculation part of it to not be, take it over the moon part, but let's do it all within boundaries. Take the speculation into boundary areas, that they're like the sandbox part that we've come up through, and go as far as we want to go with it within reason, and see what's there, and you know, picking up from what you've said, Tizian, and what we've talked about, and I think I think I've discovered some pretty amazing things.
And you drive 2.5 hours.
Yes.
I don't know if people know that.
Yeah.
Every time. Man, that's awesome.
Well, I drove from Augusta today, so that was 3 hours.
I know, and I sent him a message. I told him yesterday, I was like, look, you can do a Zoom if you need to. And he's like, no, I'm coming.
Yeah,
well,
I live
from Augusta. Well, okay, if you have the good equipment now.
Yeah.
Do a Zoom, but you better buy what Andy told you to buy.
Consider Vandy.
Yeah. That's the whole reason he came. He's like, I don't want to do Zoom.
It means that much to me. It means y'all do the time to sit here, the time to enjoy, time to learn.
Yeah.
I never knew that it would be like this for me, but I'll never trade anything for it.
And that's cool.
Love to learn whatever I can learn from here on out.
Yeah. That's
awesome. What about you, Big W?
I'm going to ask Andy.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's got to anchor. Yeah, not me. Yeah.
Sometimes he likes to skip him.
But, Andy,
himself.
Yeah.
You enjoying that credit card, Andy?
5473.
The CC code is.
I hate to kind of repeat myself, but it's the same thing. It is interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes the conversations are really good, and you learn fascinating things. Like that guy, that archaeologist that was a biblical scholar. That guy remains like top five for me. I don't know where it ranks for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that guy was fascinating. And of course, Dan and stuff like that. Like, those are great experiences. And some of those conversations are really cool conversations. Like, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Makes life interesting.
Yeah.
You know? For me, like, since you and I are on the different side of the spectrum, Andy, you know, with – whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to hit the mic there, but
– calm down, sir.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking one of the things that I've said a million times this year is that at some point, you have to pick a lane. Like, people have to pick a lane.
Oh, man, that was something I wanted to add to it, too. Yes.
Yeah.
Through all of this, it's helped me define a lane.
Yeah.
And I'm in it now.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm happy to be in that lane.
But by saying that, what I mean is, like, for example, the very first line in our Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the first thing it says. It presupposes the rest of the Bible. It tells you right out of the gate, God's the creator. Now, some people say it's a covenant and some people say it's physical creation, but the Bible itself says that God created this, right? And if you choose to believe that, if you choose to believe that God created all the things, then you have to pick a lane and you have to stay in that lane if you're going to choose to believe that, you know? And if you choose to say that God does not exist and that the Bible is not true, then you've picked the lane and you're going to make all your decisions in life. That's the way it is. And if you are a futurist and you're hellbent on remaining that way and not wanting to look at any other view, then you're going to pick the lane and you're going to live in it. And you're going to have ramifications for your choices. If I've said everything's fulfilled, that means that I have to rethink a lot of things and I've picked this lane and I'm in it. But this one lane that always keeps coming back to me is the lane about love. I talk about it all the time. And it's because that I don't believe that the church has ever really fulfilled the things that Jesus expected them to do, that we've never really shown the sacrificial love that he talks about, or loving our enemies, you know, the way that we should. And you know, just putting others first, or living according to the Spirit, where it says that we are to have love and that we bear that fruit, you know? And growing up in an atheist home, evolution was at the core of our, you know, of our belief, that we just believed everything was evolution. And there's a lot to it, and there's a lot of science behind it, and it's hard to ignore it. And I don't ignore it. I look at it and I'm like, man, if this is fact, then am I reading my Bible wrong? You know, and I wrestle with that. And you know, I haven't, Rick, have you picked a lane? Have you really picked a lane? I was like, well, you know, there's one thing about evolution that I'd like to share with Christians. If evolution is true, I've picked the lane of Jesus. Does that make sense? As far as human beings go, I feel like he was one of the best to ever live. And I love the way that he teaches. And I love how all of those people, like the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the people that were forgotten, how he really made them important to him and how he took time. And all of the holy people and all of the people that were really like ridiculing others and taking advantage of others, he had a problem with that. And I'm okay with that. These holier-than-thou people that want to rule your life or that are trying to line their pockets with your money or whatever it might be, Jesus wasn't about that. You know, he looked at a woman that just had two mites and put it in the offering plate, and he said she had given more than all those other people combined. He saw people for who they were, and he had a heart for people. And as far as evolution concerned, I say let's evolve into something like him, because I think the world would be a better place if you lived according to his principles. I just do. And so if people think that the Bible's not real, fine. I've picked a lane. I'm a Jesus follower. And when it comes to the idea of is he God, is he not God, did he fulfill it long before, or whatever, I'm really more focused on what he did with other people. That's just where.
And how I can follow that example.
Yeah, like if we're to walk in his footsteps, you know, or like some predators would be like, you don't have to do the Lord's communion anymore because it says, until he come, and he's already come, so you don't have to. And it's like, you know what? I like doing it because it reminds me of what he did.
Yeah.
I do have remembrance. I don't see him physically.
Yeah.
And all the things that I've learned about him are in my heart. They're just in my heart. And guys, there'll be people that cuss me out and I can look at them and I can punch. Dude, I can punch you in the face just as easy as anybody else can. But I've got this little still small voice inside me that says, can you love that guy? Can you do it? Because I'm going to show you how.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I see it in the scriptures, like how he did it. Like I see how he did it or how the Spirit taught him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, are those bad things that we should evolve into? What's wrong with that? I've picked a lane. It's just the lane that I've picked, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I really am. And I don't need to define it for anybody.
Yeah.
I just need to live it.
Yes.
And that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm happy.
That's great.
What's wrong with that?
That nothing. That's excellent. No, that's excellent
philosophy. I'm not hurting anybody.
Excellent personal philosophy.
Yeah, I'm not taking anybody's money. I'm not doing anything against anybody.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time talking about it because I enjoy him and I love him and I love this, you know? And it's not my job to convince you that God exists. It's my job just to love you. That's really my job. Somebody that's hurting and that's homeless or, God forbid, whatever's going on in our country right now, there's plenty of room to start loving some people. People That's need it. Love, man.
Yep.
There's plenty of room for that.
That's right.
So I've picked a lane. I'm a Jesus follower. I like what he teaches and I want to follow what he says.
Do we need to listen to DC Talks Jesus Freak now?
Yeah. I like the later part on that where they fake that woman singing, what would people think?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, how many people are from Shelby County? I see your hands in the back. Yeah, that's a good album, Jesus Freak. Anyway, that's it. This podcast has become a place where I've studied all kinds of stuff in the scriptures and I'm still confused about a lot of things. But I'm a Jesus follower, and it meant the world to me, even as a child, all the way up until I grow. And yeah, there's a lot of things that have been wrong with it, but I always come back to that basic, like, man, he's challenging me to love this person.
That's the hard work.
It is. That's where the work's at. And
so, because it's like, people as an idea, pretty easy to love. People in reality we got our stupid personalities and our quirks, and we make mistakes that don't look like mistakes to us, but they look like mistakes to everybody else.
Right.
And
they look like on purposes to everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just, it's so easy to love a not real thing.
Yes.
But people is real work.
And if you really think about it, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, according to what Jesus said, there is literally no dark place that we can't go, that we can't reach down and help. Like, the worst possible thing you can think of, and there's just a lot of disgusting stuff that happens in this world. Mm. But if a person comes to the end of themselves and they're like, I need hope, we can offer it.
Right.
And we can do it. And we are not supposed to judge as we do it, but some of us do. And I used to a lot. I try not to as much as you used to. But it's very sacrificial, and that's just the lane that I'm going to stay in. I love Jesus, and I want to follow what he said. The end.
Yeah.
I don't need to explain it to you. I don't care. If you don't like it, I'll deal with it, and I love you anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's it, man.
And please send all your money through Patreon and your credit card number. No.
Are you at least doing the speed limit?
Yeah, I am. And by the way, I have very exciting news. We have a new – help me. We're going to do ads for this company. What is it? Sponsor.
Sponsor.
Sorry about that. I was out of brain fart. We have a new sponsor starting in March. And this is a very exciting sponsor. I can't tell you who it is.
Oh, okay.
But it is an actual product that you can buy that is super killer. I'm very excited. And
do you get samples?
Yes. And all of our listeners will actually love this stuff. This is something that they could buy and enjoy
and use.
And it's not like nothing against supply chain solutions, because that was awesome. They supported us, and that's really killer.
Sure. Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
We really didn't help their business. Not a lot of people went. And Carolina Cases, it was cool, but it was expensive. And some people didn't want to buy. And there several times they went in the cart, but it didn't work. But this new thing is not very expensive, and it's super awesome.
Yep.
And you can
use it every day.
March.
It's coming in March.
Okay.
You can use it every day.
You can use it every single day. So anyway, guys, I have really enjoyed this. Happy
Groundhog's
season
day.
Five. Groundhog's Day is when it actually happens.
Happy
February 2nd.
Yeah.
Today is for these guys.
Not that.
It's not that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like February 5th or 6th or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I appreciate it. Are all heights and all hearts and minds clear?
Yes.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks for being here, Billy. I'm glad you've been here for a long time. That's awesome.
That's and true. Tiziana, that's where it started.
That's where it all started.
Billy's the OG.
OG. The OG. Right there.
Yep. Billy was like, I didn't know this is what we were going to talk about.
Like,
Rick.
What? 5 years later? What are we doing?
And you still don't know what you're talking about, Rick. And Tiziana, thank you.
You still haven't helped me out, Rick.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for jumping in and becoming a full-time member here and doing your notes stuff and helping.
Yeah.
You're just an amazing – you are a force of nature.
Oh,
I'm so glad you're here. Andy.
I'm glad to be here.
You really do make it sound fantastic.
Yes, you
listen to this voice.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. And Rick, I love you, man. You're one of my best friends. Yeah. I'm so glad you drive all this way up here.
Yeah, we're all glad.
And Sarita, I'm sorry you're not here. And Ralph, I'm sorry you guys weren't here, but you guys were missed. I wish maybe in the next episode when you're up here, you guys can share what it is that meant to you. But yeah, love you guys. And Cherry, we miss you.
Yes, we do.
But we're very happy that you're up there. Travel nursing up there in Maine.
Maine.
It's a good thing.
We are happy that you're happy.
Yes. We are happy that you're happy.
This new chapter.
Good stuff.
And we love you.
All right. We love all you guys. Yep. And we will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Later.
Nah.
Zagnut. Zagnut.